Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Senate supporters of President Barack Obama's trade agenda hope to fend off hostile amendments today and send a major trade bill to the House. Pro-trade senators survived a Democratic-led blocking effort yesterday. Now they hope several hours of votes on amendments will clear the way for Senate endorsement of fast-track trade negotiating authority. It would let the president send to Congress proposed trade treaties it could reject or ratify, but not change. U.S. consumer prices were up slightly in April. Consumer prices edged up 0.1% last month compared to March. Core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy, climbed 0.3%. That's the biggest gain in 15 months. In April, gasoline prices on a seasonally adjusted basis were down 1.7%, and food prices were unchanged. This morning, USDA reported that private exporters made a sale of 109,400 metric tons of soy meal for delivery to Thailand during the 15-16 marketing year. Also going out the door this morning is export sales of 101,950 metric tons of wheat for delivery to Taiwan during the 15-16 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 18,273. It's down 12 points. The NASDAQ is trading 5,096. It's up 5.25, now 5.5. And the S&P 500 is 2,129, and it is down 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
We have another good day underway across the Midwest. One of the few that are left, I think, it's going to be trending a little bit wetter, especially next week. We do have a few good days still left, though, in the eastern Midwest. We have a little bit of shower activity across a small part of Indiana at this hour, but a lot of cloudiness across the lower parts of the Midwest. Northern areas are seeing mostly fair to partly cloudy conditions. The winds are light out of the west, and the temperatures in most of the Midwest at this hour running primarily in the middle 40s through the lower 50s. As I mentioned before, conditions will be deteriorating as we move further out in time, but not so quickly in the eastern Midwest. We still have a few days of good weather slated for that region, and we're talking mostly east of the Mississippi River. The earliest rain that will come back into any part of the Corn Belt will likely occur as we go from Friday night into Saturday morning. During that time period, showers and thunderstorms will return to Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. Those storms will stay mostly west of the Mississippi all the way through the day on Saturday, but starting on Sunday, we'll start seeing some showers creep across the river and into Illinois and parts of Wisconsin. Eventually, that precipitation will march across the heart of the eastern Midwest, but as that occurs, we'll see somewhat improved weather in the western Corn Belt. Up until that point in time, daily showers and thunderstorms will have been occurring in hard red winter wheat country as well as the western Corn Belt, and quite a few areas will have received another significant amount of rain. For the eastern Midwest, the wettest conditions will occur Monday into Friday of next week. During that time period, a near daily occurrence of showers and thunderstorms will be possible. That some of the precipitation may actually linger a little bit into that following weekend. So conditions, as I stated before, will be deteriorating as time moves along. But a good opportunity for some additional farming activity will certainly take place from now through the holiday weekend, and that will be a very welcome thing. For the hard red winter wheat country, there's still a great deal of concern about the condition of the wheat itself, with too much moisture already have fallen across the region and will continue to fall. We do expect to see the wetter bias prevail for a good part of the next 10 days. Some of the soft wheat in the Midwest will also become subjected to a potential decline in condition because of wet weather diseases maybe next week. We're going to be watching that rather closely as well. Too much moisture at this time of the year can hurt that crop, and certainly if we keep it wet going into the harvest season, it could be a whole other issue. So we're going to continue to watch wheat conditions rather closely. In contrast to these conditions in the Midwest, there's actually a part of North America that is way too dry, and that's actually in the Canadian prairies. A lot of their small grains, as well as canola and a number of other crops that are produced up there, are suffering from lack of moisture. It's been weeks since a good rain has occurred in some of that region. It's been kind of cold up there, too. Some crop damage has occurred, and we've seen some replanting needs develop this week because of the losses that occurred from the bitter cold conditions. Well, there's not going to be anything like that in our region. Most of the Midwest will continue to experience a relatively fine temperature regime after we get behind the next couple of cool days. We'll expect the high temperatures across the region this afternoon, limited to the 60s and a few lower 70s. There may also be a couple of upper 50s out there, so kind of a nippy day. We'll look for the temperatures tomorrow, mostly 60s and 70s, and as we move on out into Saturdays, probably similar conditions, but starting early next week, we'll start seeing a little bit more normal weather. With the rain, unfortunately, it'll be kind of difficult for us to experience all of the benefits from the warmth, but we'll see 70 and 80-degree temperatures occurring on a daily basis through most of the work week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 556 down 1¾. September 566 and a quarter down 1½. Soft July wheat, 519 and three quarters, now a half down 2½. September, 527 down 2½. July corn, 364 down 1. September, 370 and a quarter down 1¼. December, 381 down 1¼. July soybeans, 938 down a half. September, 919 and a half down 3/4. November, 918 and a half unchanged. July soybean meal, 306.90 up 280. July soybean oil, 31.91 down 34. June live cattle, 151.90 down 47½. August feeders, 217.50 down 22½. June lean hogs are 83.77½. And that is where they started the day when the bell went off in Chicago. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
If I didn't know better, just looking at the range of trades, I would say that there's nobody up in Chicago right now.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys up there and reading some stuff. Sounds like the trains are about a third full this morning. I think a very thin crowd up there, and, you know, that always means you could see some extra volatility, or it could mean that, you know, nothing happens. But I think, you know, if somebody has a position they want to move something, you know, when you have the lower volume, sometimes that can happen. The big thing right now is we're up pretty good overnight, open kind of mixed, and then kind of finished stronger as we went into the 7:45, and then we got the CPI out and the dollar reversed back up, and things have kind of fallen off here now.
Let me ask you, do you think that maybe wheat next week holds the key for what direction corn breaks next?
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be a factor. We're going to have our first conditions report out on Tuesday. People are talking, you know, that it'll probably be a record, you know, good to excellent number. I'm not sure that's the case, but, you know, that first one, you know, where it comes out is really kind of important because where it goes from there. But, yeah, I think wheat and there's a getting to be more concerned on the fundamental side on the wheat as far as the you know, almost too much, too wet in some of the western areas now, and the extended expanding wet areas that they're trying to get wheat combine and stuff. So we're short, you know, the funds are short the wheat like they are all the commodities on corn, soybeans, and wheat. And if you have some fundamental spark, that could make things go higher, I think.
Yeah, I think the issue is one of quantity versus quality. Is the production down, or is the production there but the quality poor because of rust and then thus more feed grain?
Yeah, and I think that's the latter probably. I think that's an issue with the corn. But things always can look different after a three-day weekend, too. You know, weather forecasts don't always stay the same for a three-, four-day period. So I think things could look different from a weather standpoint next week as we come in as well.
I keep looking at the soybeans, the July-November spread, and keep thinking to myself, at some point, is this going to flip?
I don't know, because, I mean, if you just look at world numbers, we probably, you know, could justify the situation that we've got here with the I guess it wouldn't surprise me if we start to move the July a little bit closer, you know, towards the November, but I don't think that's going to happen for a while yet. I think we need to probably get through the South American harvest first.
Thank you much, Bill. Have a grand long weekend.
Yeah, have a good weekend, Dave.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July corn, 364, down 1. September, 370.5, down 1. December, 381, down 1.25. July beans, 937.75, down 3/4. September is 919.5, down 3/4. November is now 918.5, unchanged. July soybean meal, 306.50, up 240. July soybean oil, 31.91, down 34. June lean hogs, 83.77.5, still unchanged. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.